The way you live your life does not determine whether or not you get to go to heaven. Faith in Christ alone saves. But faith in Christ alone changes you from the inside out and will result in a changed life. Now, some people call this doctrine the perseverance of the saints. And here's what I believe. I believe that even though someone who's saved can and will sin, even though a person who's genuinely, soundly saved can backslide, it does not mean they would ever lose their salvation. But what I'm saying is, somebody who's been born again by faith in Jesus, God is going to change your life. Amen. Doesn't mean you're never going to stumble. It doesn't mean you're never going to slip away or something for a time. But I'm telling you that in the end, he is going to bring you through. And it ought to be evident in our life. And that's really what this is about, making our calling and election sure. Let's pray that God will teach us tonight. We want to learn from the Word of God. We want him to speak to us. This isn't our word, it's his. So let's pray that he'll speak to our hearts right now, and then we will get into the text. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time to share burdens in our prayer time and to share rejoicing in together as we praise you together, and the time of singing and everything that's been done so far. We ask you'll be with the burdens on every heart. But Lord, right now as we open your word, I pray you would guide us by your Spirit. You would teach us. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth by the leadership of your Spirit tonight. And I pray that if anyone in this room or anyone watching online has never been soundly saved, they have never repented of their sin and unbelief, they've never trusted with all their heart in Christ alone, been born again, I pray that tonight they will be saved. And for all who are saved, I pray that you would help us to have assurance of our salvation, that we would know that we have eternal life, and that you would bear witness by your Spirit, and that our lives will bear witness as we seek to live for you. Please help me, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Pray your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So we spent some time the last couple of weeks going over those things. And I'm not going to take the time to go back and read through them, but you can just back up a couple of verses if you aren't sure the context, and you can check that out later, because he's told us that God has given us through faith in Jesus everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's all wrapped up in your faith in Jesus, and he has freely given you those things because Christ purchased them through his death and resurrection. And then he tells us to add to our faith, and he gives us all those things, and we walk through them very detailed, the things that we add to, how we live out our faith, and we add to, and we supply these things, and God is going to grow us, and we're supposed to give all diligence to that things, to those things. And so as we move past that, we got to understand that faith that saves must grow. Amen. Saving faith is a living faith. It's not a dead faith. Saving faith is going to work. Saving faith is going to grow. The grace that redeems us is renewed day by day. It's a living thing. It's not a once and done thing. And Peter's concern throughout this letter is that believers don't stay stagnant, but they keep moving. Amen. That they don't just stop, but they keep growing and moving forward. He really is dealing with false teachers, and that's really the heart of it's in chapter 2. And so we got to understand that if we neglect spiritual growth in our lives as Christians, it's going to open the door to deception. Amen. And it's going to cause us to be forgetful of the truths that he's already shown us. So we come down to verses 8 to 15, and it's kind of the pivot point of the letter as he starts moving and teaches us that the believer's growth, our growth, as we grow in our faith and we add to it, it confirms our calling. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, not only can you be saved, but you can know for sure that you are saved. And we want to grow in that. So in verses 1 through 4, he really deals with God's provision. God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then he talks about our participation grace provides everything we need, then out of that grace, out of what he's put in us, we work out our salvation. He puts it in, we work it out. And so it's our participation. And then he ties it all together. Look at verse 10 here one more time. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so there's some wording here that may sound a little off to us. We want to make sure that we get it. So give diligence. This is a decisive decision. It is a decisive and a earnest effort that we put into it. Now, we're not making ourselves saved, but we're adding to our salvation. We're adding to our faith. It is a calling. Make your calling and election sure. You are saved today because God called you to salvation. Is that true? Did God call you? How did he do it? Well, he did it through the gospel. He did it through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but he did the calling. God's the one that brought you. He called you. And then he talks about your election. The election is God's choosing. And God has chosen us. It's very clear in the scripture. Election is based on the foreknowledge of God. Amen. So let me ask you this. If you're saved today, did God choose to save you? Amen. Did he choose you before you were ever even born? Yes. Now, I know some people, they're like, I don't know about that. But listen, remember, God's beyond all that. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew you before he formed you in the belly. He knew you. He had plans and purposes for you, and he did call you. You say, well, what about free will? I'm not taking anything away from free will. I'm just saying God knows. Amen. And you can't erase the word election from your Bible, though there are some who would try. You can't do it. It's there. God did choose you. Well, yeah, he chose me, but did I choose him? Yeah, I sure did. I made a decision, a conscious decision when I heard the gospel. I was convicted by the Spirit of God about my sin, and I made a decision to turn away from my sin to God in faith. I made a choice. He chose me, I chose him. I don't know that everybody gets all up in arms about this. The whole Christian world's been arguing about this for a couple thousand years. We have labeled it. Now we call it Calvinism and Arminianism, and people like to debate it. And in case anybody's ever wondering, if I'm a Calvinist or an Arminian, I am neither. And I am both. Oh, wow. What? Some people like run him out now. What I'm trying to tell you is there are some things that my Calvinist friends believe that I think are absolutely biblical. And there are some things that my Arminian friends believe that are absolutely biblical. There's also some things that both sides believe that I think get into unbiblical territory. I think there's truths in both. So I'm not interested in labels. I just want to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Right? And I know there's a lot of smart people out there that'll see this later and be like, well, you have to choose. You have to be one or the other. No, I don't. No, I don't. Did God choose? Yes. Did I choose? Yes. Is it the sovereignty of God or is it the free will of man? The answer is yes. I say about one of the best illustrations I've seen of that is the marriage one. I picked Melissa, and for some unknown reason, she picked me back. Like, I had to choose. I chose to propose to her, but she had to choose. After long, long years of deliberation, she chose to say yes. Right? So which one was it? Did I choose her? Did she choose me? The answer is yes. Listen, you may think it's a waste of time to dig into that. Anytime the word election shows up in my Bible, I feel like it's a responsible thing for me to do as your pastor to take a little time and make sure we understand it. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. It's Romans 8, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. It's based on the foreknowledge of God. And do I understand all that? No, and I don't have to. I just think it's an awesome thing to know that God knew before I was ever born that I would be saved, and he has elected me to receive all the riches of God in Christ Jesus before I was born.
Amen. Amen.
He did that. I understand that? No. And would I have chosen me? Absolutely not. But he did, and I rejoice that he did. So God calls and chooses by his grace. What do? We respond in faith and obedience. We have to believe and obey the gospel.
Right.
So he does his part, we do our part. God provides everything that we need for life and godliness. We read that just a second ago. So what's my part? Well, we apply all diligence to add to our faith, virtue, and knowledge, and all those things, right? So he does his part, I do my part. God keeps his people eternally secure. You do not keep yourself saved. Guys, I need you to hear this. Shout it from the rafters. Shout it from the rooftop. Let everybody know you do not keep yourself saved.
Amen.
You got a lot of friends in this community, and I do too, who need to know this truth. You do not keep yourself saved. You can't. He keeps you. He holds on to you. He's got you in his hand, not the other way around.
Amen.
Okay? But we confirm, we demonstrate the reality that he has saved us and he is keeping us saved by our lifestyle in godliness.
Amen.
The living a life of godliness, and we could just look at the things he says, add to. That's just let's just call that holiness. Living in holiness, what that does is it shows evidence of its fruit that we have been saved.
Amen.
Okay? Grace never excuses laziness. Grace never excuses laziness, and diligence never replaces grace.
Amen.
You get that? God's giving me grace. I'm going to go to heaven no matter what.
Amen.
If I went home and set my carcass in my chair at home till the day I die, which if I went home and did nothing but sit in my chair, I would probably die soon because my wife would kill me. But if I just went home and set my happy carcass in my chair and never did another thing until the day I die, I would still go to heaven.
Amen.
That's the grace of God.
Amen.
Okay? But is that excuse? Is that laziness excused by God? By his grace? No. No. And on the other flip side, if I apply all diligence to live out my faith, if I work myself to the bone, if I literally kill myself by doing the ministry, does that make me some way... is that better than grace? Have I earned grace now? Do I deserve grace now? No. No. It's all his grace.
Amen.
But he requires our diligence. We work together with God.
Right.
We are laborers together with God.
Amen.
That's an amazing thought, isn't it?
Amen.
And you're like, well, what am I going to do? Well, what you need to do is what he's called you to do. Believe. And then add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and all the things that he calls us to add to. So what's the promise? What's the promise? The promise is if you do these things, you will never fall. If you do these things, you will never fall. We've got some friends here in town who would count this as a gotcha. Ha-ha. See? If you do your part, you'll never fall. But what is he talking about falling from? Falling from grace? Falling from salvation? What exactly is he talking about when he says you'll never fall? Well, if you do these things, that's faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and never fall, let's try to figure out what it doesn't mean to help us understand what it does mean. It does not mean you're going to have sinless perfection.
Amen.
So anybody who's new to being saved, new to walking with Jesus, and you thought once you got saved you would never sin, let me be the first to tell you, you will sin.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want you to. God doesn't want you to, but we all know that you will.
Amen.
Everybody still okay? Now, some of you are in shock to find out you could sin after you got saved. You know, it's a big question I get asked all the time when I'm trying to witness to people who are lost, they're unbelievers. One of their big concerns, really, and I think it's sincere, they are concerned that if they make this decision to trust in Jesus, they're going to fall. What if I mess up? And I try really hard, Brother Tom, not to laugh at them. I really do. Sincerely try not to laugh in their face. Because they're serious. They're like, what if I mess up? And I want to be like, what if? That's funny. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm going to tell you that you will fall. And this is not talking about sinless perfection here. It doesn't mean that you'll never fall. He's not talking about falling from grace. I got a friend who told me one time that the Bible is filled with places where it says you can fall from grace. Let me clarify that in case anybody ever thought that. There's one verse that talks about falling from grace, and it's used in a sense to say that would mean you've fallen from grace and that can't happen. Okay? Let me ask you this. Is grace something you earn or something God gives you? It's a gift. Everybody understand the difference between a gift and a reward? A gift is something somebody gives you freely, expecting nothing in return. A reward is something that you earn or something that you have to maintain in order to keep. Okay? And I would venture to say that in your life, most of the things you've counted as gifts were actually could have been called rewards. You know why? Because your mama gave it and your mama can take it away. Right? And there are things in your life, blessings from God, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But you know what one of those things isn't? Your salvation. Eternal life. It's not something that he gives and then takes away. It's everlasting. So you can't fall from the place of salvation. And you can't, he's not talking about the idea of not falling from, you'll never fall from perfection, like you're going to be sinless. Well, what is he talking about? I'm going to say this. You're never going to fall into ruin. You're never going to fall into destruction. You're never going to fall. You're never going to fall into a place of not having or knowing that you have eternal life. Amen. Never going to fall. If you do these things, what does that mean? Well, if I do these things, if I add to my faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, if I add those things to me, then I am going to be secure in the knowledge of my salvation. Amen. I'm going to be sure. Well, why do I think that's what he's talking about? Well, what did he just say? Giving all diligence to make your calling an election. Sure, what calling? My calling to salvation. What election? My election unto eternal life. And I'm going to make that sure. How? I'm going to make myself sure of it by the way I live my life. It's going to give me assurance. Okay, so let me be anecdotal with you for a second. How many of you, since the time you got saved, have had an extended period of time when you weren't walking with Jesus like you ought to? Anybody? Can I see your hands? Okay. So during that time, like, you can look back now and you can say, I know I was born again, but there was a time period when I wasn't walking with Jesus like I should. I wasn't adding to faith. I wasn't living out my faith, and I wasn't adding to my faith. I wasn't growing spiritually. And in that time period, would you say I did not have assurance of my salvation? Would anybody say that? There's a couple of you who will testify. I'm going to tell you this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by... When I meet somebody who says that they're saved, but they tell me they don't feel saved, the first thing I ask them is, when the last time you read your Bible? Amen. I'm going to tell you this, if you're not in the Word of God, you're going to, that feeling of assurance, that assurance that you have, that knowledge that you know you have eternal life, that starts to fade. Does it mean you're not saved? No, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means that you're not going to feel saved. God's not going to give you assurance if you're walking in rebellion against him. Amen. He's not going to do that. So if you do these things, you're never going to fall. You're going to have that assurance. You're going to know that you know. We know that God secures us eternally. Our security is wrapped up completely in Jesus Christ, but growing in grace helps us to enjoy the assurance of our salvation. And I'm going to tell you, when you're not growing, when you're not adding to, you're going to forfeit your right to assurance. So what do we need to do? Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to remember, and he wants us to be fruitful. Amen. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let me tell you what that means. God has forgiven you from your sins that are past when you were born again. That's when your sins were purged. And if you are not adding to your faith, then you are going to be a person who has forgotten that you were saved. Amen. Now, some of you are like, that's crazy. I can't imagine forgetting that I was saved. But what does he say? He's blind, he cannot see, and he has forgotten. And there are people today who are genuinely born again who have forgotten that God saved them. And they're living their lives in rebellion against God. They are not adding to their faith, and they are living a life as somebody who has forgotten. How could you forget? Well, what happens when you forget? You're going to be barren. It means to be idle. It means to be ineffective. It means somebody who's not growing. It means somebody who doesn't is not living out life. Spiritual unfruitfulness is not just a weakness. Spiritual unfruitfulness is a contradiction of grace. God has given us grace, and we ought to bear fruit out of that grace. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So failure to grow cannot be from a lack of supply. It has to be from a lack of use. It can't be from a lack of supply. It has to be from a lack of use. Okay. My dad has a... My dad used to have a power washer. It's at my house now. Anybody ever borrow something and then forget to take it back? Yeah. Possession's 9/10 of the law, by the way. Just saying. Every time I go to use Dad's power washer, you have to put fuel in it. They work better with fuel in them. Okay? Everybody got that? It's got to have Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, you got to hook the water up, all those things. On most things that you start, there's a couple of things that you need to turn on, right? This one has a switch. You have to turn it to on or it won't crank. You pull that handle all day long and it'll never fire unless you turn that little switch. You know what other thing that a lot of engines like that have? They have a fuel switch that you have to turn on. And I don't care how many times I start that stupid power washer, I always forget to either turn the power switch on or to turn the fuel on every time. You'd think I'd never done it before. And I'll be out there getting so frustrated because I can't start it, because it's like every other pull start motor ought to be. The thing's broke and you got to just wrap a cord around it. You guys know about that? Okay. I mean, it used to be cool where it'd retract in and all that. No, forget that. You just wrap the cord around it. It's real safe too. The fan's exposed. It's awesome. If you don't have, it doesn't matter how much gas you put in there. If you don't turn the selector on, if you don't turn the fuel supply on, it doesn't do any good. Everybody with me? Could be full to the brim. You keep looking in the tank. Yep, it's still got gas. I don't know why it won't start. God's given all the supply. Amen. The tank's full. But we really got to turn the selector on. What do I mean? I mean, we've got to live out the faith that he's given us. The supply is there. It's not his fault if I'm not growing in grace. It's my fault. I'm not using what he has provided. We can't see far off. We're short-sighted. We're not seeing eternity. I'm going to say this. When you get away from the Lord and you're not growing in grace, what you're doing is you've cast your gaze from heaven right down to earth. You're not setting your affection on things above. You're just looking down at your feet. Amen. You can't see afar off. You're not looking to eternity. You're just looking at what's right in front of you. Amen. You can't see afar off. You're blind. You don't even realize what you're doing in your life. The opportunities that you're wasting, the kind of life that Christ wants to give you, the abundance and grace he wants to let you live out, you're not doing that. You're blind. You don't even see it. You can't see eternity, and you have forgotten. You've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins. If our sanctification is neglected, it's going to cause our assurance to fade. I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to make sure everybody in this room and anybody watching online gets this. How could I be saved by faith in the blood of Jesus and forget that he has purged me from my sins? You know what else happens in times that I'm not walking close with Jesus? Not only am I not seeing blind, not only can I not see far off, not only do I lose the assurance of my salvation, but I am overwhelmed with guilt. The sins of my past haunt me and they overwhelm me because I've forgotten. Does anybody else ever have that problem? Where your past just comes out of nowhere? things that you've done that Jesus' blood has washed that away, but Satan's just bringing it right back up.
Amen.
And he can, because you're not walking in sanctification. If these things are in you and abound, they'll make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The more I walk with Jesus, the more I add to my faith, the more I add virtue, that moral excellence, the more I'm living that life out, the more I get to know Jesus. And the more I get to know Jesus, the more fruitful I'm going to be. Fruit isn't something that you manufacture. Fruit is something that naturally grows out of a relationship with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Right? John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If any man abide not in me, Father takes him away, right? But if you abide in him, then you will bear much fruit.
Amen.
Now, how does that happen? The branch plugs itself into the vine, and then it makes itself manufacture fruit? No, that's not how it works. It's just the fact that it's connected to the vine. It's in fellowship with the vine. It's growing out of the vine. It has to bear fruit. It's what it does. And if you'll plug yourself into Jesus, he's already done that when he saved you. If you'll be connected to him and grow in him, have relationship with him and fellowship with him, then fruit is going to be the natural result. And you don't have to be barren. You don't have to be unfruitful. And the more you know him, the more fruit you're going to bear in your life. So don't forget. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, be of diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, verse 11 at first glance may sound like, to some people, if I bear fruit, then I'll get to enter into the kingdom. Can you guys see how somebody might interpret it that way? But I want to tell you, he's not saying if you do these things, then you can enter into the kingdom. He's not talking about if you enter the kingdom. He's talking about how you enter into the kingdom. Now, you may disagree with this. You can study it out on your own. I think there are going to be a lot of people who enter into heaven, the everlasting kingdom, and they do not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But they're there.
Amen.
Now, you might disagree with that, and that's okay. But I think that those who are adding to and growing in their faith, when they kneel before King Jesus, he'll say, well done.
Amen.
And when he judges them at the Bema Seat, And they give an account for their life, and they're able to lay their crowns down at the feet of Jesus to his glory, that's a glorious entrance into the kingdom. But I think there are going to be a lot of people who truly trusted in Jesus, but did not live for him the way that they should. They did not add to their faith, virtue, or anything else. And they're going to enter into the kingdom. But they're going to be saved yet so as by fire. Not with rewards mounted up to the glory of Christ. At the end of the day, it's all about him, right? For so an entrance. It's the kind of entrance you're going to make into the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you this. If you are saved, God has given you every supply that you need to have an abundant entrance into his kingdom. I want to say this again as we get ready to wrap it up tonight, because some of you don't believe me. I don't know why you don't believe me. I try to always tell the truth, except when I don't. If we're not playing balderdash, you can believe me. Do any of you know what balderdash is? Okay, if you don't know what it is, it's a board game, and the best way to win that game is to be good at lying. Is that true? Is that a good way? You got to be able to make stuff up that's not true. Yeah, bluffing. That sounds so much better. Thank you. Bluffing. I don't think I've ever lost a game of balderdash. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm really good at bluffing. But when I stand here, I'm always going to try with everything in my power to tell you the truth. And when I tell you that you have all the supply of God to live a life that gives you an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, what I'm trying to say is that every person in this room can kneel before King Jesus, having done much for his glory through his grace and power, so that he would say to every one of you, well done, my good and faithful servant. All of you can hear that. All of us can hear that. And I know you don't think it's true, but it is true. Because it's not about you, it's about his supply. And it's just about taking all of the power that he has given you, all of the grace that he has given you, everything that pertains to life and godliness that he has supplied for you, and living out of that.
Amen.
And when you do that diligently, when you put all of your effort into living out of the supply he's given, you can live a life that'll give him glory.
Amen.
Now and forever. I hope you believe that. I love the fact that so many of you have this heart that says, I don't deserve to get to heaven. I'll just be glad to get there. I don't deserve to be there. I know you're like, I just need a little cabin on the other side of the hill and all those things. But I'm just telling you, it's not you, it's him.
Amen.
And he wants to accomplish great things for his glory in your life. So I pray you'll let him. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Remember and be fruitful. Confirm your calling by diligent obedience. We want to be faithful to King Jesus. Assurance is strengthened in proportion to growth. Where godliness increases, confidence deepens. And when we're more and more obedient to Christ, we're more and more sure of our salvation. So let me say this tonight. If you're standing right here now or you're watching online and you are not 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when this life's over, I want you to know you can be sure. You can know that you have eternal life. It's not because you live a certain way. You live a certain way because you've been given life. So it's evidence of that reality. Well, what is the reality? If you're going to go to heaven when you die, it's because at some point you turned away from your sin and unbelief. And you trusted with all your heart in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died for you and rose again, and you're trusting in him. And that looks different for a lot of us. Maybe you were a little kid in your bed at home. Maybe you were an adult and you walked down the aisle and you prayed right here. Maybe you were driving down the road. I have no idea. I have heard so many testimonies. People got saved in all kinds of places. But the testimony is the same. You trusted Jesus. If that's you tonight, praise God that you have. But if you've never done that, I plead with you that you put your faith in Christ alone right now. Lord, I thank you for the time together. I pray that if anyone here or watching online has never been born again, your Holy Spirit is convicting them. You are calling them to salvation. You have loved them. You have known them and elected them, and your Holy Spirit is working in their heart. Lord, I pray that they would come to the place of repentance and faith even now, right now, that they would call on your name, that they would trust in Jesus with all their heart. You are the only way to have life. You are the only way to have forgiveness of sins, to be purged from our sins. You're the only way to be forgiven. And I pray that they would trust in you now. And Lord, all of us who are saved, God, help us to live for you who died for us and rose again. Lord, help us to add to the faith that you've given us virtue and knowledge and all of these things to your glory. Help us to continue to live a life in a way in obedience by the power of your Spirit for your glory. And may we have that great assurance, knowing that our life is hid in Christ now and forever. Forgive our sins and help us in all that we do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.